Welcome back to The Hot Slice. I am creative director Josh Cowan. Along with me, executive editor of Pizza Today, Denise Greer. Hello, Denise.
Why, hello, Josh. How are you doing this lovely Monday morning?
It is a podcast first thing Monday morning is
I'm sorry.
Hey, I love you. That's why I did it, you know, but, you know, it's better to do it 10 o'clock in the morning when my brain is still functioning well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the nice thing about doing a podcast on Monday morning for a lot of folks, you know, for pizzeria owners, this is their day off. So if they're deciding to come talk to us, like they're doing it on their day off. So this is amazing to have
we
an
want to
operator
bother you on your
Monday.
Day off. So that's what we're
Exactly. I think they, you know, they're like, hey, let's do it Monday. It's my day off. And I'm like, oh, but you need a day off. Enjoy your day off.
And I'm sure 10 minutes before they're like, why did I plan this for Monday?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we have a great guest on the show. You know, we have Shelby Hall, and she's the owner of a Fox's Pizza Den in Cheat Lake, West Virginia. It's outside of the West Virginia University campus. It's about 10 minutes away from campus. And how I came across Shelby is I was moderating the Women Pizzeria Owners panel. And after the fact, her mom came up to me and was like, I'll preface this. During the session, I had mentioned how in a lot of cases, we see a lot of women just not bragging about what they do and how successful they are. It's just something that I don't know if it's like not in a lot of women's nature to brag, but not to be, you know, and a lot of people think, well, I don't want to be conceited, but, you know, talking about your business and saying how successful you are, there's nothing conceited about right. Discussing your wins. But so she was telling me about Shelby, and she was telling me how she bought her first Fox's franchise very, very young. And she had worked in them as a teenager, and that she knows what she's doing, and she's got such a good head on her shoulder. And I was like, oh, I've got to meet her. So
I mean,
she came to the Pizza Today booth too.
Yeah.
So I did get to meet her, and I was like, and she was a little shy. She didn't want to come on the podcast, right at the show. And I was like, you know what? Forget this. I want to do a whole episode with you because I think that you've got a lot to say. And I think it'll be a great environment for us to sit down with just, you know, a couple hosts and just talk about your business. And
she bought her first franchise within like in her early 20s. I was lawyering in a Dairy Queen parking lot when I was her age, and she's out here buying a pizza franchises. So, I mean, I was blown away by the talk we had with her and how, I mean, she's just got her stuff together. I mean, it's amazing to see. And it was actually really inspiring to see like how well she has it together and how well she's, you know, pushing her crew. And she's an amazing leader as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I like that she is constantly pushing, you know, she's always looking for her next thing, that the next thing that's going to get her excited about the business and get excited to move forward. And that is a great thing to see in a leader. She definitely has all those leadership skills to really succeed. So I cannot wait to see her continue her career and see, you know, what she does with the pizza industry. So let's get her on.
To have the 20-year-old energy again, that would be great, right?
No joke. I love it. I want that energy back too.
Hi, I'm Genevieve Ruby, a fifth generation dairy farmer here in Humboldt County, California. Did you know that 99% of California's dairy farms are family owned? And we're proud to sustainably produce the milk that goes into quality cheeses you use to create your delicious pizzas. Thanks for helping make California not only America's number one dairy state, but the leading producer of mozzarella too. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Performance Food Service is proud to deliver high-quality products, innovative technology, and custom operational solutions to restaurants of all sizes across the country. The flagship division of Performance Food Group, with deep roots in the restaurant industry, Performance Food Service has been the exclusive distributor of the Roma family of brands for more than 65 years. This signature relationship has allowed Performance Food Service to become a leader in the pizza and Italian segment of food service nationwide.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Welcome. And it's great to see you again after seeing you at Pizza Expo.
Yes.
So I love that your mom came up to me after the Women's Pizzeria Owner Panel. And she was like, yeah, you have to meet my daughter. She's rocking it. And what I love is, I mean, you are young and you started owning your first restaurant at what age?
I had just turned 23.
23. Oh, yeah. My goodness. So you've worked at Fox's Pizza Den. You worked there from the time you were young, correct?
Yeah, I was still in high school when I started that. And everything just kind of evolved from there.
I was going to say, at what point, you know, when you were working there, I don't know if it was part-time, full-time, that you were like, the seed kind of entered your brain to like, hey, I think I'd like to own one of these.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started out, you know, from the very bottom. I hadn't done anything in food. My mom, my whole life was like, you don't want to work in food. You don't want to work in food. Just go to retail. And I tried that out and that just wasn't working. So I was in my last semester of college. I graduated a semester early and I was in my last semester of college. And the only way that I could go back to the location that I was at was to manage it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. Like, I don't want to drive across town. I'll do that. And that was kind of my first step into management, into knowing what that was like and seeing the behind the scenes stuff, the mm-hmm. ordering and the more business side of it. And I really enjoyed that. And so that's kind of whenever it really clicked in my mind, like, hey, that might actually be something that I'm interested in doing that side of it.
What about the management? What about being a manager did you really kind of gravitate towards and really just enjoy?
It was honestly just all of the behind the scenes stuff. It wasn't so much the management of employees, because that's always an issue everywhere, but it was more so like, just the whole business side of it, the financials, the, you know, ordering and making sure you're within the right percentage for your mm-hmm. ordering and your labor percentage is correct. And it was just all the numbers for me.
Yeah. Did it align with your college? Like, what did you go to school for?
No, I went to school. So I started out college as a speech pathology and audiology major.
Oh, wow.
And then halfway through, I switched to criminology. And then, yeah, I ended up in business. So I graduated a criminology degree.
You might be able to use that in your business, because theft is really high amongst
it
restaurants.
Is. So yeah, and I always joke, I tell them, I'm like, I will find it. You don't have to worry.
You know, I'm curious about your first experience working in a pizzeria. Like, what was that like?
I mean, so the one I started at, it had just reopened because they had to rebuild from a fire. Mm-hmm. And so I went in and I knew nothing. Like the guy that did work there, he was getting ready to retire. He was the owner of it. And he was like, all right, I'm just going to hire you. You're just going to answer the phones. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And he's like, all right, I'll teach you how to make some sandwiches. And then we started making a little bit of sandwiches. And then he showed me how to do the dough. And we just kind of slowly integrated me into that. But I was definitely the baby when I went in there. Like, I was the youngest and he would not let me do anything that required any kind of dirt. Like, I was not allowed to take out the trash. I did not, you know, do the dishes. I simply was there to answer the phones and make very little things. And then when the new owner took over about 5 months later, it was like a culture shock to me, because I was like, oh no, I don't do the dishes. I don't, you know, it was like,
you're like, yeah,
and
I'm
like,
do.
Wait, okay. So I do have to do that if I want to stay here, and that's cool. I can do that. But it was just weird, because I went from being like this protected entity that now I have to actually
get thrown into the
do the job.
Yeah. No, I'm curious, when you went into that manager role, How soon after the management role did you were you like, oh, this is for me. I'm ready. I'm ready to make the leap into ownership. I'm ready to get my franchise.
Yeah,
How did that
so.
happen?
And it was just a really long process, honestly, because it started out where I had just graduated and the guy had offered me that store. And I was like, okay, I work in this business. I'm here every single day. I know what we're bringing in. I know what's going out, sort of thing. And the amount he's asked for it, I'm like, it's just not there. I can't do it right now. I'm fresh out of college. I have student loans. I'm like, we're in 2020. One, no, 2020 at that point,
Oh,
at the end of 2020. And so I'm like, we're in the middle of COVID. There's just now is not the time. So he had sold it 3 months later to another person, and I worked 60, 70 hours a week for her. And by October, I told her, I said, when you're ready to give it up, you just let me know. I would love to have this place. I'm here every day. I interact with the customers and have that. And she said, okay. And then she came to me in January of 2022. And again, the numbers just didn't align with what we were doing at the time for it to be worth it for me. And especially being there 60, 70 hours a week, it was just going to be me running it. So I had actually backed off and didn't do that. And then a few months down the line, I had left that and went to work at West Virginia University. And another pizza opportunity came up, and I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe I can't own that one. And then in the middle of that, like slowly progressing, the Fox's opportunity came back up at a different location. And that's where it really just kind of took off. Cause I'm like, you know what? Fox's was what the whole dream was anyways. And there was a reason that this was taking so long to get through. And I think it was just that opportunity could rise and we can go from there. And within 2 months of saying, all right, let's do this, it was mine.
For our
What
listeners
was?
on the, I was gonna
Oh,
say
go
for our
ahead. No,
listeners
go
on the
ahead.
West Coast who might not know, Fox's Pizza Den is, it's been around since 71, I think. And it's a chain. How many stores do they have like around?
I think right
A
around
lot.
200 at this point. It is mostly on the East Coast. I know there used to be one in Utah, but I think it closed at this point.
What was it that you needed to have kind of in place that to because we do have a lot of prospective owners out there that just haven't made the leap. Maybe they're working in a pizzeria or they're in a completely different industry. What was it that you needed to have lined up in order to make the jump?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many moving parts, and I think that was what the thing was for my mom at Pizza Expo. She's like, how do you know all of this? Like, so young. Like, and I'm like, honestly, it was just knowledge that I pulled from each owner on what I need to do and what I and the first guy that I worked for, he was a great mentor in telling me, hey, make sure you got this and this and everything lined up. But I mean, I just started from the bottom, hey, I know I need my LLC and I need to register with the state. And that the payroll company that I was going with actually helped me set that up. So then I already had my payroll in place, and then I need to go to the bank and, get all that situated and everything.
Did the
And
bank look at
my
you like you
accounts
were
there.
crazy? Like,
Was there any
oh.
pushback?
Yeah, I mean, no, they were great. They were kind of shocked that I was so young, and they're like, wow. Because, like, they ask you like the basic questions, like, hey, how much do you think you're gonna have in payroll? How much, do you think you're gonna have here? And your cash flow sort of thing. And I'm just rattling off numbers. They're like, oh my God, like you actually
She
know
knows what
something.
she's doing.
I've been doing it and actually, doing the payroll side of it and stuff before I had called in payroll and done all of that with them. So I did know my numbers, and I did do a lot of my research before I jumped in. And that's one thing my mom will say, like, I don't just jump into things. Like I definitely sit and do all of my research and make sure that that's the right one for me. So.
You've been doing a lot of research. You've been in the trenches for a while. Once you got the store, what was new to you that you're like, oh, I didn't see this coming, or this, I didn't have to battle with this when I was a manager. So yeah.
Third parties are definitely always a tricky situation. So the store that I was working at is not the one I ended up buying. I ended up buying the one across town. And I had worked there for a brief time. before moving back. But I had a great general manager that stayed on with me, and he really helped the transition go smoothly. But I would honestly just say the third party stuff, like I knew what I was getting myself into with the business mm-hmm. side of it, mm-hmm. but it's like the little issues, like, mm-hmm. oh, hey, the credit card processing didn't go over into your name just yet. So you're going to have to get the money from him, the old owner, to get it to you. And I'm like, that's just a hassle. Like, why did this not just smoothly go into place? And so, I mean, I think it was at first a hiccup of just a few minor things, but minor things that could be very major in the end, if not fixed quickly.
Right. Yeah. I'm curious about, you know, you're young, you take on a leadership role. Was there any pushback amongst staff? Was it hard to get them to, you know, to listen and to follow your guidance, or did you kind of set that tone in motion from the get-go?
Yeah. So, I mean, the people that so when I went in, it was, I interviewed every single person that was on the team, and they knew that. And there were some that I just simply did not bring over because mm-hmm. I'm here to run a business. I'm not here to, you know, play games. If you're not going to show up to work and you're going to slack off, then, you know, let's just not even go there. But a lot, you know, the GM that I have, he is older than me, but we had worked together since I had started at Foxes. So we mm-hmm. already had that relationship going, and he knew that I was going to come in and make some changes, but I was also going to look to him to see, you know, hey, how are things working out here? I don't want to come in and just shake the whole tree and, you know, make everybody mad. At the same time, we need to make some changes for the flow of the business and to increase sales. The majority of the people there were right about my age or a little bit younger. And so for the most part, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I definitely would have some people that, you know, well, that's not how we do it over here. Well, you know, we have to change it for this reason. And I always gave like reasons on why we're making these adjustments and, you know, hey, let's do this for just a little bit and let's see if I'm right. And if I'm wrong, then okay, we'll go back to doing it that way. And I wasn't wrong about it, but you know, you never know how things are going to turn out. You know, I could have been wrong. But
those are good, true qualities of a good leader, though, of explaining reasons why we're doing this, not just saying, hey, we're doing it now. This is my way.
Right.
So it's going to break through much better.
Yeah. I'm curious, what when you came in or even now, what are those things that you're really looking to kind of change or revolutionize with the business? Because, you know, you bring a lot of new energy and, you know, I'm curious about that.
So we've done a lot of community outreach mm-hmm. over the past year and a half. We've went with West Virginia's Special Olympics. We've partnered with them. We've partnered with West Virginia University and doing their beginning of the school year festivity stuff. Mm-hmm. We've reached out to local public schools and gotten with them on some things. We were the closest high school to us, we were actually their food sponsor last year for their sporting events.
Oh, nice.
And then right now we're looking to expand, actually. I've spent probably the past week researching concession trucks so that we can go a little mobile with some of our trucks. So not necessarily cooking on site and then just transporting it. So we have it there sort of thing. And that's kind of the newest thing that we're working on, and I'm not sure everybody's on board with it just yet, but I need them to just trust me for a second and see how it goes.
Is that one of the things you investigated at Pizza Expo, was how to expedite that process?
No, honestly, it wasn't even in my mind. But another local business that has a food truck, they had just closed their food truck, and I was like, oh, are you interested in selling it? And it was just honestly just like a joke kind of.
Like, and then you're like, well, wait.
And then he's like, no, not really. I'm like, no, but wait, that's actually a good idea. Like, if we could go mobile and have that, because we are the only Foxes in the county. Mm-hmm. So we can really hit anywhere, but we're kind of off to the side. And so mm-hmm. where the other location used to be able to hit, Mm-hmm. It's just not there anymore. And so people are kind of disappointed in that. So if we're able to mobilize it and go to different things like farmers markets or different balloon festival and different events to bring it to you and have that, I think that's great.
And, you know, catering sales and doing a mobile unit, those are the highest revenue generations for additional sales. So there you go. Let's talk, you know, you have how many staff? How many employees do you have?
We sit anywhere between 8 and 12. I'm there usually 2 days a week. And then my GM kind of runs it the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. But it fluctuates. So being in a college town, a lot of them are college students. So they go home for the summers or for breaks, and then that time kind of goes into crunch time. We gotta all band together, what's left of us. But I mean, a great staff. I'm definitely fortunate in having that because I know that there's plenty of businesses, not just around me, but everywhere that face that staffing issue, especially since COVID. I faced it over at the other location. And so where I am, we're definitely fortunate to have the steady flow of applications.
Absolutely. Now, you had talked about that you had a kind of a mentor in the owners. You know, are you kind of passing that down as you've become, you know, the leader of your organization?
Yeah, I definitely try to, especially with the younger ones. I have one right now that he talks about doing different businesses. Like, maybe I'll do lawn care. Maybe, you know, I'll do this. And I'm like, let's do it. Like, how are you going to do it? Like, get your LLC set up. Like, what are you going to name it? Like, and like doing the whole like business side of that, and definitely trying to encourage that no matter what it is that you know, they want. It doesn't have to be pizza or whatever, but I mean, I even have some of my guys come to me and be like, have you ever thought about doing this? And I definitely take their suggestions and everything, and I'm like, you know, that's actually not a bad idea. Maybe I will reach out to that, and you know, we'll see how that goes. Or, you know, that's just a little too far for us. But you know, I definitely, you know, encourage them to give me ideas, and you know, whenever they have questions about setting up something of their own, I'm there for it, even if it's just a hypothetical and we talk in circles all day.
That's great to recognize that, because I think some people don't recognize that for a lot of employees, you know, for the majority, the overwhelming majority, pizza is not their end game. It's they're pursuing other ambitions in life. And so to recognize that, I think would help give you a kind of respect amongst your employees.
Yeah. I mean, pizza wasn't my end game when I started. I definitely, like my first day, I was like, this is not going to be for me. This is not long-term. And then it was just really the flexibility that it gave me. And that's what I've tried to continue with them is like, you know what, I get that you're in school. School is your first job and you got to focus on that. So, you know, whatever it is they choose to do, you know, I like keeping them around when I can and encouraging them to stay, but I also am not going to hold them back from doing what it is they want to do.
Something about the pizza business that gets in your blood, you know, and you
I joke about that. I do. I tell them, I'm like, they always come back. They'll be back. They come back. And yeah, I definitely have guys that'll leave and then they'll come back and they'll be like, okay, I'm back for a little bit. And I'm like, all right, you know, I know you'll come back.
As an owner, what are those things that you end up doing? Like you had talked about how you're kind of sheltered from some of the, you know, the dishes and thing. Now as an owner, what do you end up having to pick up the pieces on?
I would honestly say just like little cleaning things that, that nobody else seems to like notice. And it's like, guys, like it's so small, but it's so big. It's like, you know, just move that table out of the way just a little bit and just clean underneath of it sort of thing. And, you know, the little things that I'm constantly texting them about each week, like, hey guys, we got to do better here. And, you know, whatever it may be, but it honestly, I enjoy every piece of it. Like even the crappy parts about it, I'm always like, you know what, but this is what I wanted to do. And I'm very blessed to be in the position that I'm in and have this opportunity to be here. So I don't want to, you know, complain too much about it, but you know, I'm happy where I am.
What are some of your like big wins, like since you've taken over as ownership that you're like, that you turned around and you were like, you know, you come in with like, hey, I'm going to do this and you turn it around and it's a big win for you.
One that comes to the top of my mind is WVU's Fall Fest. So it's the biggest hype of the year. They bring in different artists and have a big concert on campus and they bring in different food vendors. And so I was like, we're going to do that. And, you know, I took ideas from the guys, but I'm like, we're going to make 1,000 pizzas and we're going to ship them over there and we're going to sell them all. And they're like, Shelby, I just don't think this is going to work. I'm like, we're going to do it. Everybody, all hands on deck. We're going to do it. Everybody get excited. And they were less than excited. And it was a lot of work and it was a very long day, but we sold out of 600 of them in 20 minutes. And wow. I had the next shipment come in. And had we had all 1,000 there, it would have been out in 30, but you know, timing and oven speed did not work with us, but that's okay. Everybody that got a pizza was happy. And I ended up leaving some people without. So now that's where the food truck kind of comes in and we're trying to increase the number of pizzas we can do this year and to, you know, help out more. And that was honestly, I say that it's my second Christmas because that was, awesome. I think about it all year round and I'm like, all right, how can we do better? And
that's a huge, I told you so. If
yeah.
I've
ever, yeah.
Yeah. Be like, I told you we wouldn't be able to do this. Come on.
A lot of work, but man, I bet it was the reward for it.
They weren't really into, you know, they were like, I don't think I could ever make another pizza in my life. Like, I'm so tired, like docking it. They're like, my hands were swollen. I'm like, yeah, guys, but we're going to become more efficient next year and we're going to get, you know, the negotiator, whatever we need to do to make it by a little bit quicker.
Yeah. That's the thing. Always improving, right?
Yeah. And learning. I think that, you know, whenever we did the West Virginia Special Olympics, they wanted like 120 pizzas for that and much smaller to scale, but that was before we did the Fall Fest event. And so, I totally lost my train of thought there.
That's all right.
But, you know, doing that one, even they were like, you know, this is a lot of pizza, like, but we can do it. And I was going to say that we slowed down and we weren't pumping them out as fast as the guy had hoped. And so then whenever we got the opportunity to do it again this year, I was like, all right, guys, we're going to start sooner and we're going to have these and we're going to have them out on time. And this year we did do a lot better in our timing and redeemed ourselves there. So,
oh, there you go.
How close is the campus to your location?
So our campus is very wide. We have a downtown campus and a Evansdale campus. So it's not just one. The downtown campus is probably about a 10-minute drive if there's not too much traffic. Evansdale campus, more like 15-20. So we definitely can deliver more so to the downtown campus. Evansdale, if there's like a special event or the dorms need something, we're all in for it. But
yeah, I got you. Yeah, as you grow and as you develop as a pizzeria professional, pizzeria owner, what are some goals you're looking to do moving forward? You know, what are you looking at doing with your career within, you know, within the next 5 years or so?
Yeah. So when I first bought my business, it was this rush and it felt great. And I'm like, this is exactly where I want to be. And as time went on, that rush kind of slowed down. I'm like, all right, I need that rush again. And I joked yesterday, I was like, this concession trailer, this is my new rush. And
yeah,
that sort of thing. You know, it's not a whole new business, but it almost is. Like, you know, we're just expanding, but it's so much that goes into it. And so ideally I would like to have another one. Just like with the first one, I'm not rushing it. When the timing comes and the right location and the right spot and everything falls into place, I'll know. And that will be, but as for, you know, pushing it and rushing it, I'm not about it, but just let things go the way they're supposed to go. And we'll make
do. Are there Fox's Pizza Dens, do any of them have mobile units that you could like reach out and touch base with to kind of get a feel for how they're going through it?
Yeah, there are some, a lot of them that I know of, the ones that I know of are actually like on location units. So they have the oven and everything like that. But there are some, and it seems like a lot of the ones that had them, they wanted to get rid of them. And I'm like, how do you want to get rid of it? And, you know, I think that, you know, again, the location has something to do with that.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I, again, did my research and tried to look at different events that we could possibly do and what would make it worth it for us. You know, if we could set up at one of the tailgating football events, That would skyrocket it. I'm not sure that we could pull it, but it's just like the opportunities that we could do and the things that we could do with it, mm-hmm. you know? And so I've looked into it, and if it goes sideways or whatever, I can get rid of the truck and,
yeah,
you know, get my money back on it. But, you know, I'm kind of sticking with the whole, like, we can do this. Like,
yeah, it's great advertising. You know, there's nothing like marketing through a mobile unit, because you're getting to areas where maybe they didn't know, hey, I didn't know we had a Fox Pizza Den here, you know?
And get into like the high schools and stuff like that. Like, I know that mm-hmm. they take like a Kona ice truck there some afternoons, and they're like, hey, Kona will be here during lunch. Like, hey, I have a pizza truck that I'll set up outside for them during lunch. Like,
yep.
Yeah. I think with your energy, it's inspiring, and I think you shouldn't have any issues with it, because I think it's, you know, the energy that you're putting into it. I don't think it has anything. It could do nothing but be successful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we'll let you get back to your Monday, but we thank you so much for
coming
on the podcast. It's been great, and we can't wait to share your story and keep us posted on that mobile. We want to know how successful.
For sure. It is. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
All right. If you're Pizza Expo next year, be sure to drive by the booth again. We'll say hi.
I plan to be there. We're kind of already starting to plan on what we're going to do. I'd love to bring my GM out and
there you go.
Have him give his perspective on some of those classes and things like that. Because my mom and I, we had to split up during that to kind of hit all the pieces that we wanted to. So that's why she was at that one. And I went to, what was it? The tips versus service charge one. So. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, that is great. Well, have a great summer. I know, you know, the school's going to be letting out soon for colleges. So
it will be busy.
Yeah. Take care and good luck.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.